Ladies and gentlemen, it is I, TF Joe and Mike, and before you hear TuneCast Beyond, episode 55, I just want to let you know, close to the end of this recording, I kind of started losing my mind, and I just couldn't edit it. It was too funny. So, it's mainly flubs and, you know, mislines and everything else, but very, very funny stuff. I tried to edit it out, and it just wouldn't have been a good show without it. So there you go, close to the end, there are a bunch of F-bombs from me, because I'm losing my mind. When we recorded this episode, I think it was like 2 a.m. Back in late October, so I don't know. Just thought I'd give you guys a warning. Close to the end of the episode, TFJ and Mike loses his mind. And now, on to episode 55 of TuneCast Beyond.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Hello and welcome to the 55th episode of TuneCast Beyond, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network and Audible.com. I'm one of your hosts, Steve John Mike, and today I'm joined once again by Optimus Solo. Hello.
The one and only Optimus Solo.
Well, you know.
There's no others.
Not many people like Optimus and like Han Solo all at the same time.
The greatest pairing of two nerd icons in history.
The question is, would Optimus shoot first?
That is a good question.
Today we're jumping back into the DeLorean for another TuneCast Beyond DeLorean Time episode with our heading set for 1984 to talk about the adventures of Little Koala.
Yes, sir. I was barely
That's
alive.
Right. Yes. Let's get right into the history lesson. Take it away.
Alrighty then. The Adventures of the Little Koala is actually an anime TV series. Originally aired in Japan on TV Tokyo from 1984 to 1985, and then aired in the United States on Nickelodeon, dubbed in English, from around 1987 to 1994 or so in syndication / reruns. It also aired in a bunch of other different countries, but it was most successful on Nickelodeon in the United States and in Canada. Production of the English and French versions of the series was done by the Canadian studio Cinar Films, which most animation buffs should have some idea of who they are. The storyline revolved around Roo Bear, Koala, and his friends in their utopian village.
First of all, here in the U.S., no wonder it has 33-second jokes in it. If it's an anime from Japan,
yeah,
originally, and they translated it. I can't believe this aired on Nickelodeon with that 33-second joke. And for those of you wondering, what the Steve, do you and Mike talking about 33-second joke? Wait till the end of the show, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Yes, listen carefully and don't stop until you hear our special tidbit at the end.
Yes, exactly.
What I mainly remember about this show, outside of the theme song, which we'll talk about later, this for me, you know, it was airing when I was around 6, 7-ish, you know, on Nickelodeon. And basically, my sister and I mean, we watched the regular cartoons and whatnot, the Saturday morning cartoons that you'd see on whatever, CBS, NBC, ABC. You know, Fox really wasn't around at the time. So we had those, like our standard, there was the standard cartoons that you'd come home and watch after school. There was the standard Saturday morning cartoons. And then this thing called Nickelodeon was kind of coming on to the, into our knowledge, you know, as something that was somewhat new and we were learning about it. And that kind of, all the shows that aired on Nickelodeon in those early years for me kind of had a different, they filled a different spot in my brain and in my, you know, cartoon knowledge block, so to speak. And the ones that I'm talking about that a lot of people don't know about, because there wasn't, Nickelodeon was not that popular at the beginning.
No.
When it was just Pinwheel, and then when these shows started showing up. So usually when you reference these shows, this is the, these are the cartoons that people like look at you like you're crazy. And this is how you know if someone really was into cartoons, if they know the stuff that was on Nickelodeon. And there was some other non-cartoon stuff going on, like Eureka's Castle with the puppets, Lois and Bram's Elephant Show, Sharon Lois and Bram's Elephant Show. But the main cartoons that I'm talking about that were kind of in this same time period was stuff like The World of David the Gnome, The Adventures of the Little Koala, Newsles, The Adventures of the Little Prince, Maya the Bee, Mapletown, and then they did occasionally show Muppet Babies and Care Bears along with these. So these all kind of, outside of Muppet Babies and Care Bears, because I also saw those on other channels, you know, these all, I mean, you had to tune into Nickelodeon to get these. They were unique to Nickelodeon, and I liked each one of them in varying ways, but I really loved The Adventures of Little Koala when I first saw it on Nickelodeon. That was probably, that and The World of David the Gnome were probably my two favorite Nickelodeon cartoons of that time period.
Yeah, I'm going to have to refresh my memory on David the Gnome, but this is the one back in the early Nick days that I remember as well.
And the reason I remember David the Gnome is because of the voice of David the Gnome, who just passed away, what was it, last year? Now, of course, I'm not going to think of it, but the guy from Father Dowling Mysteries, and I think he was on Murder, She Wrote.
Right. You can always go over to behindthevoiceactors.com and find out.
So I can remember this dude's name.
But no, I remember this.
Oh, Tom. He was also from Happy Days or whatever. Bosley. Tom Bosley.
Oh, yeah.
I was getting
him
confused with somebody else for a second.
Okay. I remember this briefly in the early days. Honestly, I think, and I could be wrong about this, did Nick start showing the old, like, once Nick got into its heyday of the 90s, did it also show these older shows as well?
Yeah,
see, I remember watching this, like, bumped up against a Hey Arnold or something. Like, I remember watching it against one of those other 90s Nick shows. Right. I don't remember it in its early days.
Well, the early, it kind of, there's different kind of phases of Nickelodeon. And the first one was kind of from about 1988 to right about the mid-90s. So, like, we're talking about 88 to 94 time period. And that was Nick Jr. and whatnot. And then they went into what they called the Face, when the Face became the kind of the animated host logo type thing. They kind of rebranded themselves. And they continued to do, you know, World of David the Gnome and Muppet Babies and The Adventures of Little Koala. And then they added in stuff like The Busy World of Richard Scarry. They added in Hello Kitty, The Adventures of Timmy the Tooth, Bob the Builder, Blue's Clues came in there, Legger's Window, Little Bear, Rupert, Rugrats. You know, so all that stuff came in and played alongside it for that for the rest of the 90s period. And that's kind of the period I don't know much about because I stopped watching Nickelodeon apparently in the early 90s. When Rugrats and Doug and all that came around, I think I stopped watching Nickelodeon.
I liked Doug. Rugrats wasn't my... Doug was cool because Doug was... And again, I think we covered Doug back in Tooncast Classic, but... yeah, I think we did. I don't remember how. Whatever.
I didn't, but maybe you did.
Yeah. You know, I remember those shows, but Nickelodeon has never been one that I constantly go. It never was my cartoon source because He-Man and Transformers and Thundercats and all the other stuff that I liked was on other, you know, major networks.
I usually watched Nickelodeon more for the live action stuff.
Yeah. Same here.
You know, it was, you can't do that on television in the early days. It would transition into, you know, I know you're not going to like this, but Hey Dude and
Hey Dude.
Camp Salute Your Shorts and I watched it more for that type of stuff.
Yeah. Clarissa Explains
right.
It All.
And the, you know, when it got into Are You Afraid of the Dark and all that stuff. The cartoons were just kind of a more of a side, like, little bonus thing that I would catch from time to time. But this show that we're talking about today was one of the early ones that I kind of did appreciate.
Yeah. Yeah, and I appreciated it, too. I thought it was great, you know, what little I saw of it back then. Trying to catch up with it today is a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Because normally our, you know, here at the Geekcaster Network and Tooncast Beyond, we normally go to YouTube for our first, you know.
That's if we don't have it on, like, DVD and we can't find it on Netflix, you know.
Well, right, exactly. And I don't think it is on Netflix. I haven't looked, but I believe I've looked before
and couldn't find it.
Yeah. And just looking at TV shows on DVD.com, it is not currently on DVD at all.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those that has been lost, seems like.
Yeah, lost to the...
You can't even find that much information about it out there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just what little information, history, and production notes that I have here in the script is pretty much it. I mean, there's really nothing there outside of that. I mean, so this isn't us just... recording an episode just to record an episode saying, hey, this show existed. We know all about it, but it existed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it deserves to be talked about. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of stuff that has been put out there on this show, video-wise, information-wise, but we remember it. I remember it well enough to still talk about it. And it made an impact on me and a lasting impression. So,
yeah. I love all the different characters. I love how... Now, you'll have to remind me because I don't remember this much, but was there, like, okay, I know a couple weeks ago you and I talked about Get Along Gang, and there was a, quote, kind of villain in that. Was there a villain in this, or was it just...
The closest you're going to get to a villain in this is the kangaroo brothers or whatever they were. I think they were came across as, like, a gang of some type of family relation. I want to say brothers. There was Walter, Colt Kangaroo, and Horsey Kangaroo. And they were kind of like Ketchum Crocodile and Leland Lizard, but not as extreme. They weren't as defined as villains. Right. They were more so just like the friends that were causing problems or that were up to no good. Probably the friends that your parents wouldn't want you to hang around because they were always getting into mischief.
Essentially bullies, really.
Bullies to a point, but not in the way that, like, Ketchum Crocodile was in Get Along Gang.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah, they would be the ones that would be trying, you know, that would bring the others into trouble or into problems or be jealous of them or trying to be, you know, interfering with their daily activities.
Looking at the images of the characters on BehindTheVoiceActors.com, we should get a dollar every time we say it.
basically, have pairs.
No, but, you know, just me looking at these images, it honestly kind of reminds me of the Winnie the Pooh gang a little bit. And what I mean by that is, like, Roo Bear, kind of just the way he looks, to me it's a blue koala, Winnie the Pooh. Laura kind of looks, because she's pink, Piglet. And Floppy, well, it's a rabbit, so rabbit. I'm not saying there's a direct contrast. There isn't. I'm just, you know, I'm kind of reading a little bit into this. But I like the characters. I think some of the stuff they say is funny as hell nowadays.
Yeah.
Just reading into the stuff, you know.
To me, I really liked the male characters again. It's kind of like similar to what I said about Get Along Gang, that I don't super care for the female characters, but I thought it was interesting that we kind of have pairs, because we have Roo Bear and Laura, who are brother and sister koala bears. Yeah. And then we have Floppy and Mimi, who are the two rabbits. And then Nick and Pammy, the two penguins. Yeah. So as far as your main six, it's kind of like three pairings of similar things. Now, I always kind of thought it was weird as a kid that all the rabbits that show up in this show are the same coloring, and all the penguins are the same coloring.
Blue, yeah.
But none of the koala bears are.
No.
Roo Bear is blue and white. Laura is like pink and brown,
yeah,
which is just like her mom. But then the dad is light brown and dark brown,
Yeah.
And then some other ones were like white and gray, or the koalas have all different colors. All the kangaroos are the same colors. You know, all the rabbits and penguins are the same colors, but apparently koala bears get to be a variety of colors.
The mayor was gray, white, and black.
Yeah, so they're all different. And I really liked it for koala bears. I don't know what it was about koala bears, but they were my favorite animals when I was a kid. I think I probably have a picture of me like before I'm even age two, like age one or like an infant, where I'm wearing a shirt with a koala on it. I probably had a shirt with some type of koala resembling this at some point. I just loved koala bears. They were cool. So when this show came out, it fit perfect because it was koala bears. And we'll kind of talk about why we have a show about koala bears when we get into the behind the scenes stuff. But I do have to say my two favorite characters in this thing are not any of the main characters.
Really?
Yes. Now, if I had to pick out of the main characters, it would be Roo Bear. He was cool. He was the lead. He was awesome. I did like Nick and Floppy a little bit, but there was a couple recurring characters that stole the show for me. And that would be, we said, you have the three kangaroos. They're fine. You had the families of the main characters, which all came about. You had Kiwi, who was kind of like a small, annoying Kiwi bird that, I don't know, he took photographs of things. He was like the sidekick, running around like a crazy man. And then you had Weather. Weather was like the mysterious, wandering nomad of the area. Like, he would walk around with a hat on and usually had a scarf that would cover most of his mouth, and he would carry Mingle on his shoulder, which was a little, I don't know what Mingle was supposed to be. I don't know what Mingle or what kind of animals were they? Weather was a dingo, and Mingle was a sugar glider. So some type of like gliding, flying squirrel type animal. And those two were really cool. And Weather would always be the one that he didn't speak much, but when he did speak or when he creepy old guy helping the kids or whatever, he was just like the guy that they could go to for advice, like the old sage. And Richard Dumont did a great job with him, and he also did a great job with a character called Mackie Mackie. Mackie Mackie was a frilled lizard type thing that when he would get excited, he would do the lizard thing where you like puff up, you know what I mean, where like you know how some lizards can puff up their like thing around their face and it like gets all big, kind of like a fan behind their head. He could do that, and he talked really fast. At times he'd be excited, but I don't know if it was just the way Richard Dumont voiced both of these characters, but Weather and Mackie Mackie were probably two of my favorite characters outside of Roo Bear.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah,
it's not just for the sake of picking the main character, but I like Roo Bear the best. Mm-hmm. I think Nick, I don't know if, Nickelodeon could. Well, I don't know if Nickelodeon can sue Disney if they even want to. Hell, maybe Disney will buy them out. I mean, Disney's supposedly in talks of buying everything nowadays. But Nick reminds me of a current Disney character with one of their games, or one of the games that they promote. What is it? Watch My Water, What's My Water, Where's My Water, whatever it is. It's a blue penguin, and the same thing, I swear, the characters look the same. I'll have to find an image of the other one, but I swear to God, looking at the stuff on BehindTheVoiceActors.com of Nick, it looks just like this other penguin that I've seen on Disney Channel in advertisements these days.
Yeah. I think I've seen the one you're talking about, and it does remind me of that. To get into the characters just a little bit, you did have your standard personalities to it. Roo Bear was the smart, athletic, adventurous one. He liked surfing, baseball, stuff like that. Laura, she was kind of the brat, strong-willed female character, kind-hearted, but sometimes comes across as a brat. Floppy, the Boy Rabbit. He was kind of a science enthusiast, inventor type character, competitive, and he always had a Walkman on. I thought that was cool. yeah. Pammy the Penguin, she loved to eat everything. She also had a crush on Roo Bear and wanted to be a nurse. So that was kind of her thing. Nick was kind of level-headed, sarcastic, kind of Roo Bear's best friend, usually came across as that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they each had their own characteristics that they would go through. And as far as voices go, I mean, the show is being recorded in, I believe, Montreal.
Yeah.
I know it's in Canada. I want to say it's Montreal. So you have a lot of Canadian voice actors. Most people aren't going to be familiar with them. I know Richard Dumont and Walter Massey have done a lot of stuff. I did find it interesting, though, Roo Bear, the voice of Roo Bear, the main character, Stephen Bednarski, some people might recognize him. He was also the lead role in Astro Boy in 1986.
Oh, cool.
He played Astro Boy, as well as being in a couple other shows, Sailor Moon and some things like that. But I thought it was interesting that he was both Astro Boy and Roo Bear. But yeah, it's a lot of Canadian voice actors that I'm not super familiar with, but I did think they did a good job in this show.
Yeah, I like the voice acting overall. There really isn't anything that I can really nitpick on it at all. I find this, and maybe it's because it was originally Japanese, I don't know. I find this a lot less, kind of less kid-friendly, a lot less sugary than Get Along Gang, which we talked about a couple weeks ago. And I really, really enjoyed watching this. I liked watching what I found. You know, I liked watching the adventures that they went on and stuff, and this wasn't your normal, hey, kids, let's learn this, or let's do this, or let's...
Yeah, it wasn't kind of void of the typical moral and more just about these kids on their everyday adventures and stuff without forcing a thing like this episode is going to be about being honest.
Yeah.
Like, they might have thrown some of that stuff in there, but it wasn't like smack you in the face over and over again.
Yeah. Do we want to get into some of the background stuff?
Sure. Like I said about koalas, I was going to mention some stuff. I had no idea this was going on, and I find it weird that I also had an affinity for koalas during this time period. But kind of the background on the show, you know, can't necessarily confirm it, but they're saying in the mid-80s that there was kind of a koala frenzy in Japan, that they had gotten some zoos in Japan had received their first koalas from Australia and stuff like that, and that people just became obsessed with koalas, and that is supposedly why we have both The Adventures of the Little Koala and Noozles both becoming cartoons in the mid-80s to follow this kind of fad. So how accurate that is, I'm not sure, but it makes a little bit of sense, and I like koalas, so I'll buy it. The animation studio, Topcraft, did a lot of stuff for Rankin Bass on their different TV specials. And most people should know which specials I'm talking about. Rankin Bass is very notable for their holiday TV specials. Yeah. And it's also said that the animation studio did work on the Last Unicorn film. Mm-hmm. And the anime fans will recognize the 1984 feature film, I'll probably say it wrong, but Nausicaä of the Valley of the Wind. So they did work on that as well. And a number of people from Topcraft went off to work for Studio Ghibli, or however you... I know anime fans will rack me over the coals for that, but they'll know what studio that is. So some interesting stuff there. Oh, I did want to say also, because of the dubbing and the stuff like that, and because it was originally done in Japan, and then, you know, basically we're trying to dub over music-wise, lyric-wise, and obviously with the voice acting, there are times where there are mistakes made. And there are times when the voices and the lips won't obviously match up perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Most notably, there are times in the theme song, because the theme song actually lists the names of some of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
Roo Bear, or, you know, Floppy, Nick, and Roo, or whatever. They go through and they name them all. I forget what order it is. But there are times where they name a character and that's not the character they're showing on screen. So there are times where the names don't match up.
There's a lot of theme songs or sometimes, not just because it was an anime show originally, but there's a lot of theme songs sometimes that don't match up, mm-hmm. you know, image to what the audio is saying.
Yeah, so if someone's not familiar with it and they just listen to the theme song and watch the like the intro video, they might think the certain characters have the wrong names or something.
Again, because sadly, apparently between a few years ago when Kevin got all the images for BehindTheVoiceActors.com for the listing of The Adventures of Little Koala, back then there was plenty of YouTube videos.
Well, there wasn't a lot, but there was enough that you could get all the characters, because I found YouTube videos back, you know, I want to say maybe 3 years ago, where I found images of all the kangaroos in the video. I found Weather and Mingle and Mackie Mackie and Kiwi and the mayor, etc. And those videos apparently have been taken down.
Apparently so, because the only video I found was the Whale of a Time.
Which is a somewhat edited video.
Yeah.
Because it has some other stuff thrown in there to try to be funny. Which I hate when people do that, unless they're really good at it.
Yeah. The actual show, we've pretty much talked about it a little bit. It essentially follows Roo Bear and his friends around and just sees their adventures. I mean, as you said a second ago, there really is no, you know, moral. Whereas, I'm gonna compare this to Get Along Gang. You know, what's his name? Oh,
Montgomery Moose.
No. The greedy kid.
Oh, Bingo.
Bingo, yeah. Where Bingo might do something that he's out for himself, and then he would learn his lesson at the end.
Right.
Whereas this is just, hey, let's go have fun.
Yeah, and it's like stuff they'll get into, or adventures they'll have, or problems they'll have, and how they're going to solve it, or puzzles that they have to solve, or stuff like that, or you know, different things like that. I will say, I think this is a combination of factors. I think it's both Nickelodeon and the fact that it was made in Japan originally. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit, I don't want to say dialogue heavy, but I found that some of these shows that came over that were somewhat anime, like Mysterious Cities of Gold or like this, or some of the shows that were just on Nickelodeon, that there's more writing, it seems like. There's more dialogue. It's not just short lines with a bunch of music in the background and action or whatever. Like, they do quite a bit of talking.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just different than what some people may be used to in this type of cartoon aimed at this age group.
Yeah, exactly.
Look,
this isn't an age group that where, you know, stuff like Get Along Gang, stuff like, you know, all the ones you already listed, stuff like, you know, the Blues Cruise type of kid. I mean, it's in that same kind of same
kind of like back in the day, what like Pound Puppies or like you know, some of those would have been like.
Yeah, exactly.
I was just gonna say, I also think visually this show is really done well.
It is. It is very. It's done very well. I love the animation in this show. It's so well. The characters are all defined. Their movements are, you know, flow well between the background and like. It's very hard. Or I've heard from animators on specials and DVD commentaries, stuff like that, that it's very hard to animate water. And, you know, that 33-second scene, it's very, very well animated, and it's just an overall great show that they put together.
Yeah, I agree. I think they, you know, they succeeded with what they did. That's why it probably had 52 episodes that successfully got, you know, transferred over. Otherwise, in the 80s, if you weren't doing it something right, you usually only lasted about 13 episodes.
Yep.
So, they did their thing, and they were rerun and syndicated for a while, which means that enough people were watching them, and I think they did a good job. I wish, unfortunately, that some of this could have been captured in DVD quality.
Yeah, I do too. The theme song.
Please don't disagree with me on this one. There's two different ones. There's the Japanese theme song and there's the English theme song.
I don't listen right. to Japanese.
I'm just saying, in the English theme song, it is interesting that they actually they credit everybody on screen. They credit who does the music, lyrics, and who does the singing in the intro of the cartoon, which isn't done very yeah. often.
Yeah, I like the theme song. I think it's cool. I think watching it more than once might be a little much, but it's not as sugary and as, you know, making your teeth fall out as Get Along Gang
theme song. If you haven't heard the theme song, you need to seek it out.
Well, just listen to the beginning of the episode.
And listen to it a couple times, because here's my thing with the theme song. Obviously, I've said this a million times, but once upon a time, I did my whole, and I need to revisit this, but I did my whole I made two compilation CDs for some of my closest friends. They knew I was big time. They knew I was the guru of theme songs, and they're like, put us together some CDs that have, you know, a bunch of theme songs, the good ones, et cetera, et cetera. So I went, and one of the CDs was 1980 to 1995. And I literally listened to like over 500 theme songs, picking out which ones I thought were worthy of being listened to, you know, the ones that didn't grate on your nerves, the ones that didn't make you want to shut it off immediately. And I got about 50 theme songs on this one.
Yeah.
And originally, The Adventures of the Little Koala was somewhere in the 40s. Like, okay. I barely made the CD.
Right.
But I put it on there. And every once in a while, after I made it, I would pop in my copy of the CD and listen. And as you do, I think most people do this with CDs or whatever, as you listen to a CD over and over again, you'll start skipping to certain songs. Or right. when certain songs come on, you'll skip ahead because you're like, oh, I don't want to hear that one. Or certain songs will come on and you'll stop and you'll let that one play. And I found myself, every time I put that CD on, I would skip to, I think it was whatever, number 42 or number 43, which was The Little Koala, and I would start with it. Because it just got into my head, like it was catchy. It was that one and Maya the Bee, I think, that were like some of the early ones in that CD that I wouldn't skip past. You know, because right. otherwise I would, after I listened to those two, I would skip into like the top 10 or the top 20 because those were the ones I really wanted to hear. But I kept listening to these over and over and over again to the point where when I made a top 10 list over at Behind the Voice Actors of just top 10 cartoon theme songs of the 80s, I literally, this one jumped all the way up into the top 10. I put it at number 10 just because I think it's that catchy and it can just get in your head and you can listen to it over and over again for me. I think there's a cool little intro with the music notes as it starts. It kind of kind of hooks you into it. Cool lyrics. I think the only thing missing from this theme song is that catchphrase or that line that a lot of other shows have. Like, everybody knows the DuckTales, woohoo, or Chippendales. That part, like, they each have, like, that line in there. Mm-hmm. And this one doesn't have like that catch line, but I just think overall it's a good music and good lyrics. There, I'm done with my soapbox. I love
this. No, I agree. But most of the time, most theme songs, whether it's cartoons, whether it's whatever, most cartoon theme songs specifically, again, for podcast research reasons, you know, depending on how many episodes we watch. Me personally, if I'm watching, you know, say back in Tooncast Classic when I watched all 130 episodes of Thundercats, by the time I got to episode 40, I was like, as much as I love that theme song, fuck it, get to the episode. You know what I mean? I think it's one of those things where, you know, on repetition, it's like, okay, I know the theme song. I love the theme song. Get to the episode.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for a lot of shows, I put them in the same category, especially the action shows. Like, you know, as awesome as I love Transformers theme song, G.I. Joe theme song, Thundercats, Silverhawks, He-Man, Voltron, even GoBots, they're not theme songs that you're going to listen for the theme songs. Those are the theme songs you're listening straight nostalgia. Like, it takes you to a place when you were a kid and et cetera, et cetera. Whereas if you listen to the theme song from DuckTales, Mysterious Cities of Gold for me, Heathcliff, Gummy Bears,
Garfield,
Alvin and the Chipmunks, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you know, those are ones that you can just listen to the theme song and you don't need to watch the show right afterwards. It's just like, oh, that song is so awesome. Like, Mask, you know, I mean, some of those songs are just good for the songs themselves. And it's not just about taking you back to when you were a kid. It's like, this is a cool song. It puts me in a good mood type thing.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I kind of put this one in between those really epic ones and some of those ones that just are more nostalgic.
Oh, I totally agree. And since this show sadly lacks legacy to itself, I'm going to take this time to talk about Nickelodeon then and now, more so now. Nickelodeon now has the rights to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and they have a new animated series that comes on every Saturday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central Time. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much the only reason why I watch Nickelodeon.
Don't they have... is Nickelodeon the one that has Clone Wars or not?
No, that's Cartoon Network.
Oh, yeah, that's Cartoon Network.
They do have... You know, the SpongeBob phenomenon. They do have all of their newer live-action shows like Big Time Rush, like Victorious, all that stuff. Every time I turn on Nickelodeon during the day, because the nighttime is really the live-action stuff, uh-huh. just like it always was. Every time I turn Nickelodeon during the day, it's SpongeBob.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, as much as I love SpongeBob, as much as, you know, Michael Wilson and I talked to Tom Kenny. It was awesome talking with him. As much as I love that show, I wish Nickelodeon would, during the day, like, hey, here's classic Nick, or here's retro Nick, or here's something where they show, you know, some of the older cartoons.
The only thing worth watching on there right now besides Teenage Ninja Turtles, I know a lot of people like The Legend of...
Legend of Korra.
I don't necessarily get into that, but I know a lot of people love it. But if you haven't checked out the show Robot and Monster, okay. It just started a couple months ago. In August, it debuted.
Okay.
The show is actually pretty damn funny. it's got.
But I mean, it's one of those things where, you know. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm just saying. It's got Maurice LaMarche, Cree Summer, and Nolan North, and a couple pretty funny individuals, Harlan Williams and Curtis Armstrong. It's a funny show. So I would say, you know, if you're looking for something besides SpongeBob, check that one out. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. I mean, you know, for me, someone who is, you know, I don't have a day job. I don't have a night job. I essentially work from home and I work on, you know, the website and the podcast and all that other stuff. That's essentially my job. And I have all this time during the day, during the week to spend. And of course there's, you know, a million other channels, but every time I pop Nickelodeon on during the day, it's like, hey, what's SpongeBob going to do today to piss off Mr. Krabs? Or what's, you know, that's essentially all it is. And I find that very sad because I think Nickelodeon during the day is losing out. Like, sure, you can have 2 hours in the morning for SpongeBob and 2 hours in the afternoon, like morning and afternoon kindergarten kids, you know what I mean? So that way that, you know, the little kids are still there. But I also think you can have, like, hey, from noon to one or from noon to two, you have 2 hours of retro Nick cartoons, like, you know, like Doug, like Adventures of Little Koala. You know, something.
Yeah.
Something.
Nickelodeon has gone through a lot of different stages, and it seems like none of them, they never... It's not that they don't appreciate their history or their past, or I think they just don't realize how much other people do. And it's like the 80s Nickelodeon is so different from the 90s Nickelodeon, which is so different from today's Nickelodeon. It's not like some of the other channels that you've had. Like some of the other channels stay somewhat consistent. I know they change the shows and whatnot, but they're similar types of shows. Whereas Nickelodeon has been like these drastically different types of shows, and I don't know. I agree that it'd be cool to see some of the older stuff, David the Gnome, Adventures of Little Koala. Even if they showed some of the live action stuff, that would be cool.
Now, let me ask you this. Again, because there's sadly hardly any legacy for this show, do you think Nickelodeon or whoever could come back today and make a Adventures of Little Koala reboot?
I mean, with shows that are for this age group, I think it's anything's possible. I mean, kids wouldn't know and they would watch it. You know, they got Dinosaur Train and they got, you know, obviously you said SpongeBob and there's all kinds of Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, stuff like that. So, I mean, it's not saying that it couldn't do that. I don't know if this particular one would work because I think it captured the right moment in time when it was on. I can say that I do hold out, like, a glimmer of hope now that they finally put Hey Dude on DVD and there are a couple other properties that they might finally realize that there is an audience for some of these old classics. Even if it was a best of like retro Nickelodeon shows that gave you like a couple episodes of this, a couple episodes of like whatever, Maya the Bee and David the Gnome and some, you know, stuff like that, that would be enough for me. I'd be happy.
Yeah. I mean, because it's sad that a show this cool can go unnoticed and just completely not on any medium.
And the other thing is, what kind of, you know, there has to be some type of significance historically as far as the introduction of anime-type shows to an American audience.
Right.
You know, there was only, in the 80s, we only had less than a dozen shows that probably did that.
Yeah.
And I think that's significant because there is a lot of rabid anime fans these days.
TV's Mr. Neil.
And this is where you have to trace back and have some appreciation for the roots of where it came from. You know, I know Voltron somewhat.
Well, Voltron is from Go Lion, which Go Lion was an anime.
Right, so I'm saying there was other ones that had somewhat anime ties to, but, you know, Mysterious Cities of Gold, Adventures of Little Koala, Superbook, and Flying House, you know, some of those were just basically straight anime.
Yeah.
Redubbed and reformatted a bit for American audiences, but that is like the birth of anime to children in America. Yeah. And I think there's significance there.
Yes, there is. So we are going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back after this with our final thoughts, and we'll close out the show then.
The Adventures of the Little Koala will be right back after these messages.
You can now hear the KidCast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free use and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear KidCast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter KidCast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you and your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code KidCast Radio when you register.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
2012 marks the 30th anniversary for Masters of the Universe. We here at the GCRN are celebrating with a brand new series of podcasts. The Powers of Grayskull series will cover every episode of every MOTU cartoon. Yes, even that crappy New Adventure stuff. Join Optimus Solo and TFG1 Mike as they tell tales of Eternia, discover the myths of Etheria, become masters in space, and finally masters of Grayskull. You can find the Pogs podcasts in iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Good journey!
And now, back to the Adventures of the Little Koala. I'm Nick Jr.
For the listeners of TuneCast Beyond, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Use audibletrial.com/geekcastradio. All right, final thoughts on the Adventures of Little Koala.
I love this show. I love koala bears. I love cartoons in general, but these Nickelodeon early shows kind of have a special place. They're more obscure ones. Not everybody knows about them, but I think this one is worth knowing about. Roo Bear was cool. The voice acting was decent. The theme song is awesome. I like the show, and it should be on DVD.
Yes. Yes, it should. Make it so, people. Make it so.
Come on, Shout Factory.
Damn right. I'm actually going to tweet Brian Ward right after we record this.
Retro Nickelodeon shows compilation.
Yes, yes, exactly. You'll make buttloads of money if you do this.
Or at least a couple dollars for me.
For me, I agree with everything you said. It's just absolutely amazing. It's a damn shame that it's not on any media. Even if it, I don't even think. I'm actually gonna look. I'm gonna look it up. I don't think it's in iTunes, but I do want to look it up.
Listen as Mike goes to iTunes.
Shut the fuck up.
Oh, okay. Then they get to listen to silence because if I'm not talking, nobody's talking. We're just exhausting our possibilities of trying to.
Nothing.
And
searched for it, spelled it right, nothing. Absolutely nothing.
It's also not on Netflix. I double checked.
Yeah, I figured it wasn't on Netflix. It's just a damn shame. What is wrong with you people? Who has the rights to this property? Somebody email me and tell me, tfgmike@gmail.com, who has the rights to Adventures Little Koala, and let me know, because I want to beat them across the head with a Havoc staff.
Yes.
Crossover.
Powers of Grayskull.
Yes, that's right. Tales of Eternia. Anyway, anything else you want to say?
Yes, listen to all our shows.
Yes, that's right. Thank you for joining us here on Two Guests Beyond. There's still ways to get on top with... Fuck, this is the fourth outro I now have to edit. God damn it.
You suck balls.
Thank you for joining us here on TwoCast Beyond. There are several ways to get in contact with us to leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on each in it. Son of a bitch! Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on each and every episode post. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. TuneCast Beyond is the show Twitter. Mine is TFG and Mike. What is your Twitter?
Mine is Optimus Solo. Now, if they leave us feedback back in 1985, will it get to us in the future?
You can also follow at Geekcast Radio for all the other network updates. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network. Call the voicemail line, tell us the show you're leaving the message for, and your name, 502-526-5821. There is a 5-minute time limit. Make sure you have your thoughts planned out. I do not edit voicemails. We hope you enjoyed this episode of TuneCast Beyond, and we'll join us next time as we head back to real time as Sketch 1984 and I are flushed away.
Be careful.
Yeah, exactly. What a horrible toilet town that was. For now, I am TFG and Mike with...
The one and only Optimus Solo.
Now, people, listen to the 30-second... 30... Fuck! Listen to the 33-second clip.
Yes.
Listen very carefully.
Do it. It's funny.